First and 10. Rivers, he's got Hines. Great catch by Hines inside the 10. Hines spins to the pylon. Touchdown! Oh, yeah! Do your cartwheel! You deserve it after that spin move! What a play!
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Ladies and Edelman Fantasy Football Podcast. We are your humble hosts here. What Pro Football Fantasy Sports Magazine has dubbed the Willy Wonka of the podcast, bringing you entertainment and shenanigans, but something with some heart and some character to it. The only podcast to do that. I'm JV along with AJ Cadman.
Good day, sir, in the immortal words of Willy Wonka.
Good day. You lose. See, I wish
I get
I wish I had that one queued up in my little soundboard here. But anyway, yeah, man. What's going on? We had a week off due to the fires.
And, I'm rested, man. I know. It's been, I missed you guys last week. But I feel like, you know, the 1 week off has kind of got me a little recharged, so glad that we all survived safely kind of our respective ordeals.
Bro, I'm always ready to go. I don't need no rest. It was pretty crazy. On Monday at like 9 a.m. we got the iPhone alert, and then they said you gotta go, mandatory. And then so we left, we got a hotel, and we were there for the night. And then Tuesday afternoon they said we can go back. They said that it was mandatory, but they said that they weren't going to enforce, they weren't going to remove you from your home, so that if you were going to stay, basically you're at your own peril, and they weren't going to come back and save you if your place caught on fire or if the complex caught on fire. So
I would like to see them forcibly remove me from my home. I dare them to breach the door and see what happens on the other side.
All you got to do is have a large gathering for Thanksgiving, and then Newsom will send the goon squad to come break your door down and remove you. You want to be forcibly removed. All right. So, well, yeah, you know, big news. Obviously, tomorrow's the election, so I'm sure everybody's already voted. Because I think we're all in California, so I think you have had your mail-in ballot already, right?
I think the one, I don't know where Ben is. Sometimes he does transactions like literally middle of the night. I don't know if the guy like never sleeps or he's not in California. But
no, Ben's in San Diego, I think.
That dude is a night owl. I swear, like he pulls the trigger on things like at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mo Cox is
fantasy never sleeps.
Hey man, whatever he's doing, he's got to keep doing it. It's been paying off. He's dug himself out, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, that's why I turned off my notifications. I was actually following, like, you know, I'd get emails and notifications from every transaction that was going, because I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna keep tabs on everybody, and that got to be too much. I mean, as you said, like, notifications going off in the middle of the night. I'm trying to sleep. I just turn everything off. So I don't know who's made moves and who hasn't.
Didn't you say today you got a score update from yesterday?
I did actually.
CBS is still, no, we're going to keep revisiting this. We're going to put it to a vote. No, the CBS has done messed up this year.
Well, for whatever reason, now, all of a sudden this week, I was getting updates from the app saying, you know, there's a scoring update. And I thought I had that set already. And I swear, since I've had the app for what, since they've had it out 10, 12 years or whatever. Maybe even longer than that. I've never had a scoring update from the app tell me one of my players has scored. And then it told me last night about, actually it was keeping up. And then this morning it said, Carlos Wentz scored a touchdown or something like that. And it was obviously too late. But yeah, it's, I don't know what's going on with CBS's app. They really need, because the iPad app is crap. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, we did just want to say shout out to the the election tomorrow. So I'm sure things are going to be crazy, and I'm sure Twitter's going to be a dumpster fire. So
by the time you listen to this, though, the polls will have closed. JV's going to try to, you know, get this out for some evening listening.
I am.
Oh, I mean, sorry, making commitments for the man. He will try. He may be a little busy.
Well, this new setup, I'm hoping will make things go faster here. So, but
hope you don't charge that to the commissioner. Okay, he'll get a reimbursement and get an expense report out for all this new equipment for the league podcast.
Ooh, I don't know if that's gonna fly with him. This.
You never know until you submit your expense report. So that's a little tip for you.
Like when Elaine bought the fur hat for George, $8,000 yes. Sable hat, and she goes to Malaysia or Myanmar, Burma.
Yeah, Burma. Yeah, yeah.
To sign the expense form.
Expense report.
He's like, but I will have to see this hat. Yeah, I will. We got a new setup here, new equipment, trying to make this faster. So, but. Anyway, why don't we move to the segments here? Why don't we start with Google Mesh Wi-Fi is talking to me. What's going on over there? Why don't we move to the Beat Farm here?
People love beats. Nobody likes beats. People love beats. Nobody likes beats. People love beats. Nobody likes beats. People love beats. Nobody likes beats.
All right. AJ's Beat Farm for week 8. I am not going back and doing week 7 because week 7 is old news.
It's past.
Week 8, it's past, but week 8 had a very tough Beat Farm winner. There were some Monday night football impacts between myself and Moyne, but we didn't, either one of us, earn ourselves on the Beat Farm. This week, the recipient of the AJ's Beat Farm Award goes to our good boy, Nima, who lost 124.92 to 122.04, lost to Jason. A lot of things kind of just didn't go his way, especially on Sunday Night Football. But a couple things, you know, the Chargers defense got lit up by a Denver touchdown at the gun, I believe, at the end of the game. That was Nima's Chargers defense that took a hit on their points there. Galladay threw up a goose egg. And, you know, Boston Scott, who had come up with a pretty big game the week before, week 7, you know, pedestrian numbers, 10 points, I think, on Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys. Fulgham, though, I mean, 20 points, you know, he did his job, but it just wasn't enough. He needed another catch or two to put Nima over the top there on Sunday Night Football. But Nima is our Week 8 Beat Farm recipient from AJ.
Wow, he could have, if he had started Higgins...
Higgins.
Right. Yeah.
Another revelation.
Mm-hmm. Right. From Magnum PI. If he would that would have
wow.
That would have secured.
Mr. Higgins?
That's Higgins. Wasn't that Higgins?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Higgins, just Higgins. Yeah. Wow. That would have been dope.
That would have obviously secured him the win, but you know, I don't know.
I don't think he would have started him. He's Galladay, Robinson, and Fulgham. You know, that, yeah, but those legit starts.
But wait. Was Galladay questionable?
He got hurt. No, he got hurt.
He got hurt in the game. Okay.
He got hurt mid-game, hip. So
yeah,
maybe he'll have to start Higgins next week.
That's a tough break. That tough break drops him to 3-5.
Yeah, that was tough loss for Nima.
Yeah. But yeah, that is a bad beat when one of your receivers goes out and you only need what? 3 points, less than 3 points.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, a couple areas it just did kind of go his way. But should I say that my segment is sponsored by Terramana, the new hottest sipping tequila in the world? I'm telling you guys, I'm having it right now. The Rock, he don't lie. He don't lie. The Get yourself. Rock. Don't you? I mean, he's done movies like The Game Plan. I mean, the guy is, everything he touches is gold. I'm telling you, this tequila is straight money.
The Rock.
Buy yourself a small batch bottle for the low, low price of $25, and you too can enjoy a piece of The Rock.
The Rock. We're talking about Dwayne Johnson, right?
Yes, you can smell what he's cooking with every sip.
He's a smart guy.
The man is a genius!
All right. So why don't we move into then... Craziest
the
thing.
The man is a genius.
Sorry, I mean to hit that again. Very sensitive.
You're still testing out the equipment.
That's not Anyway, why don't we move to that's sensitive. Why don't we move to the craziest thing I saw this week? The craziest thing I saw this week. Well, why don't we go back? We're going to go back to the craziest thing I saw last week as well, too. I just want to shout out some honorable mentions here. One of them being the craziest thing I saw in week 7, real quick. Danny Dimes had a breakaway touchdown. Nobody was around him. And just watching this, thinking, "Oh, this kid's got it. He's gonna score one for the G-men." And all of a sudden, he just trips. It's like he hurled himself forward. And the guy's a young guy. He's like what, early, 24, 25, something like that. And he just ran out of gas. It looked like he just gave up at the end. It was pretty crazy to see.
It was just too good to be true.
And then I'll mark one of these off here. So I'm going to go with this other one where Todd Gurley accidentally scored a touchdown, giving the Lions one more chance with the ball. And apparently the Lions had a 2% win probability. And then after Gurley's touchdown, they moved to 97% after the Lions scored again. Because I think they had a little bit of time left on. But that was nuts because I'd never seen a running back run toward the edge of the end zone. And then he, like Danny Dimes, kind of fell forward and fell into the end zone.
Can't stop himself.
I never heard of anything like that. All right, so now to week 8. And I'd say probably some of the crazy things here. One, the Bears receiver, Javon Wims, punching the Saints cornerback, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, because apparently Gardner-Johnson spit in his face. So then there was this brawl, and it's like, what are you doing hitting a guy with a helmet on? I never understand that when they start throwing punches. The other one was...
He was suspended for 2 games.
Yeah, I think so too.
They're going to make an example out of him.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other one was Hines' spin move to the end zone. I don't know if you saw Hines, Indy running back, where he burst through on the sideline and then spun, and then his spinning like basically catapulted him into the end zone. And then, of course, I guess he's known for the flips because he scored again, another touchdown, but he had a big day, and he does these backflips, I guess, that are, I don't know. I guess it's a celebration. Touchdown dance. And then the last one, this was my number one. The winds were so bad in Cleveland. It was like 50 mile an hour gusts that both kickers had issues. But Carlson's field goal for the Raiders, I mean, that thing curved. It hit the upright and it hooked like he was trying to get around a dog leg on the 10th. It was like 50 mile an hour winds going in that game in the rain. So no wonder it was kind of a sloppy, not a, I won't say sloppy, but, you know, low scoring game, 16-6, was it? I think the final score, or 16-9. It was just, you know, obviously it was kind of par for the course for the Browns. So anyway, that's the craziest thing I've seen this week.
I have spoken.
Let's talk about Mo Cox. He started the season 0-3, so he lost to everybody in the division. But since then, 3-2, you know, a win this week, he's up to 3-5, and that's kind of, you know, that's on the cusp, you know, playoff teams right now. So what do you think about him? Do you think he's for real? Do you think he's a mirage? He's, like I said, he's been, you know, making moves. You know, Dalvin's back. 4-touchdown game on Sunday. AJ Brown is legit. He's got Gronkowski. He's got Kyler Murray coming off the bye. Godwin, who will eventually come back from being hurt. He picked up Dallas Goedert. I mean, his team, you know, looks really good on paper.
It does. It does. I'm just worried about Cook. I mean, because Minnesota, yeah, looked like they had, you know, a good game. But I don't know. It's tough to tell. I mean, I guess he's been doing fine. He had one week where he had like 16 points against Seattle, but he's had like 20 plus games, a 17 game versus Indy in the beginning. But I don't know. I mean, maybe Minnesota's heating up. So I'd say, yeah, I basically looking at his team, I think he's got a good shot to maybe make the playoffs, maybe a wild card spot. If he continues, because we have after this week, we have 7 more games left.
No, we have 5 more. This is the end of week 8, 13 game season.
Oh, yes.
5 to go.
Apparently I don't.
I think he's I think he's a 7 or 8. I mean, he dropped 169 points last week against Caleb, dropped another 150. Well, it's not like Caleb has a defense to stop him. His team is just putting up points. He just didn't get much of a fight. And then 158 against Anselmo this week. So, yeah, the other guys aren't scoring, but, I mean, he's putting up major points. So I think he's on the rebound, kind of a force to be reckoned with. I would hate to face him, you know, first or second round of the playoffs. He'd be a tough out.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think if he keeps this going, I think he's going to be a tough playoff contender here. Yeah. What about your brother-in-law, Sam? He's at 4-4 now after losing to Ben.
He was surging. He had won 2 in a row coming in to this week. You know, took a tough L. Just didn't put up a lot of points this week. But he, I mean, he had been doing it. I mean, I think he's one of the top ones in points. He, you know, he put up 180 on B last week, consistently 130s for much of the year. Herbert is great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always that game script. They're always going to be tossing it around. Wouldn't have mattered if he didn't have, you know, Nuke Hopkins playing this week. I am a little concerned, though, because some of his early stuff was with CeeDee, and Dallas doesn't look like anything like what Dallas is going to be going forward. And Edwards-Helaire now looks like
is he hitting the wall?
He might be hitting the rookie wall. Le'Veon is there now.
His scores are not like what you think they would have been.
Yeah. I think he's, you know, again, 5, maybe leaning towards 4, but, you know, he'll get Hopkins and Andrews back from a starter's perspective off of buys and stuff. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, I am concerned. I am concerned. He's still a dangerous team every week, a tough out, but does he have the horses to kind of make a run in the playoffs? He's trending the other direction versus, I think, possibly Jason, with the caveat that if he gets Thomas. So yep. 4 or 5 for me.
Yep, I would agree. Let's see. I think Sports Gal is going to be a tough team to beat. It's not hard to beat me, but she's at 6-2 now, and then you've got yourself at 6-2. Moyne dropped to 5-3 in that game, but I think Moyne's still trending upward. B, I think, is still trending upward, even though I think now he's dropped 3 in a row.
I think this is 3 in a row.
Mm. I mean, I'm not trying to put my co-host on blast here.
He's got injuries. But now he's the only. Now he's like, everybody's going through various stages of the injury bug. Right now, that's his team. It's Ridley, Mixon, and Sanders.
Yeah,
a lot of high draft picks for him, and he doesn't have them out on the field. So
yeah,
I think if he gets them back and he can just kind of hang on, tough team. But right now he's just going through the injury situation.
Well, Cooper's really suffering without Dak. I think
the whole team is. CD, Cooper, Gallup, they're all pretty much unstartable. That, and even Zeke Elliott for Linda, has not played like a first round pick, and she's still doing what she's doing. Now, she doesn't have Kittle. She lost Kittle for, I think, the rest of the season, probably the playoffs. So that'll be interesting to see how she finds a way to replace that production. Cause when he's on, he's on.
Yeah. Well, if Mahomes continues this,
Mahomes and DK. Yeah. Mahomes and DK are enough for her, as this week. They both dropped 40 on you. Then that was enough. 46 from Mahomes, 40 from Metcalf. I mean, you can't guard the guy. I think if she keeps getting it from them, she'll find a way to settle for Kittle.
Yeah, right. I mean, Kittle, and then, she had the Packers D, which, you think going against Minnesota. Minnesota's not a great team. Yeah, that seems like an easy call, but they actually turned it around this week. But yeah, I think Mahomes and Metcalf, and if Ellie gets back on track, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like she's probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
If they continue to produce.
I think she's given herself a nice cushion too, where she can, it'll come down to schedule who she's playing, but I think she's set herself up really well for a good seed, for the playoffs. She's got Nima and then her hubby and then Anselmo before going back in division. So, I mean, she's beaten some good teams already. So,
yeah.
But she does have to play Moyne twice. So that'll be tough. And she got to play Moyne and Jeremy twice at the end. It's twice in terms of the division.
Yeah.
She plays them both at the end. So that's going to be tough. She beat them both last time at the beginning. So now she's got to see if she can run it back and do it again.
We need to fix this. And I say this every year, and no one listens to me. None of y'all commissioners listen to me. Fix the schedule so we play every team in our division twice. Because what happens is CBS thinks that you want to play everybody in the league at least once. So what happens is you play everybody in your division twice. You play everybody in your division once, and then you play everybody else out of your division, and then you go back to the games in your division, but there's always one game less that you play in your division because you've played everybody else outside your division. So it's like you have to leave. I don't think it's that hard because I think we've done it once before, or at least I may have done it when I was a commissioner because I remember adjusting that.
But you randomly don't play somebody in the league, and that's in sort of like out of division games. I don't know. Isn't it kind of fun to know that you're going to play everybody in the league at least once? Don't you look forward to that out of division matchup with?
No, it's insanity. It's not how it works. It's not real life.
this coming from the guy who has yet to drop Dak Prescott off your team. Bro,
I'm holding out.
You changed your team name. Dak ain't coming back. You can keep him on the roster all you want, but you can wish him he ain't coming back.
I know. I need to draw. I keep forgetting when I make my pickups. But
I didn't realize that Moyne has two Devontaes on his team. What are the odds of that?
I know. Devontae, you should change Parker, his name.
And I was gonna say, like, after I was watching the sports week, I'm like, wait, you got two Devontaes, and they
Devontae or something like that.
Yeah. Although, you know, Vic in a box is pretty classic. That goes way back to nearly the beginning of this league. Yeah. So it may be difficult to shy away from that.
All right. So what are some players that are you worried about? For me personally, Jacobs. I mean, I know, you know, this week he had over 128 yards. Mm-hmm. And it's rainy, you know, without Trent Brown, who's stuck in Cleveland at a hospital. But I'm worried about, I don't know. I think they're going to get back on track. It was just a bad weather game. He still ran a lot, you know, against a crappy team. But I would say I'm at a five right now. I'm kind of middle of the road on Jacobs right now.
He's getting touches. I mean, they're going to need him when the weather turns bad. So hang in there. I think I'm a little more optimistic on him. You know, if you want to trade again before the trading deadline.
I ain't trading nobody. No more.
Which I believe is next week. So get your trades in. That's a plug for the commissioner. I think the trading deadline is next week. So.
Yeah, trading deadline next week.
Who else? Let's see. Lamar Jackson. I know we brought him up before, but now we're getting deeper into the season. And I think a couple weeks ago, you know, we had some, you know, we were still kind of holding out hope. How do you feel now? You know, Jason, second rounder, Lamar Jackson, right now he's the 14th ranked QB in the league.
Oh, yeah. I'm worried. I'd say two.
No, little to no hope of coming back from that?
I don't know. I'll say three. I give him a slight chance.
Thanks for moving.
I'd be worried.
You'd be worried. Okay. By the way, officially November 10th at midnight Eastern is the trade deadline. So week from tomorrow, I guess. A week from next Tuesday. Sorry. 3-4. I mean, if they haven't done it by now, I don't know what they're not doing, Baltimore, to unleash him. They seem to be getting by with their defense. They may not just change the formula and maybe just kind of wait until they have to really kind of let him loose. So, yeah, I think given where he was drafted, that's going to be tough for Jason to swallow. He's got to start him, but I don't know if he's going to put up the type of numbers he put up last year.
Yep. So you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
All right. You got one?
I will give you...
Okay.
Go for it.
Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I was going to say him and maybe Juju we can talk about. But Edwards-Helaire, drafted 7th in the first round by Anselmo. Yeah, I mean, he's the 10th running back right now. He gets a lot of yards. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, but he's not punching in touchdowns.
He's only had one 20-point game, and it was barely over 20 points. So
Yeah. I mean, in a position like running back, I'm leaning, you know, I'm a five, but I'm a loose five, more towards a four. Like, I am starting to get kind of worried about it. I do have him in another league too. And, you know, he pulls off one more week like that, I might pull someone else from my bench because I just need more than what he gave last week in a really good matchup. Didn't they play the Jets? He should have put up way more than he did. Yes, Mahomes was tossing it around, but I would have thought they would have game scripted, you know, a little more running, but that didn't happen. So if it wasn't going to be against the Jets, who?
Horrible.
What do you say about? No, let's not pick on Anselmo and Juju again. That'd be messed up. Do you think Gurley can continue this? Do you think? I mean, let's third round. Vic in the box, Moyne. I mean, he's been. What, 8 touchdowns? He's like leading the league. Can that continue?
Gurley leads the league in eight touchdowns?
I think he has eight rushing touchdowns. I heard, that was something they said on the broadcast, and I was just like, are you kidding me? Really? I mean, yeah, he fell into one, you know, week seven by accident.
But, yeah. No, you're right. He does have eight touchdowns.
I mean,
yeah.
This was the guy that was supposed to be done. Like, the Rams just let him go.
His scores, though. I mean, just look at from week to week. I mean, he's so inconsistent, it seems like, that it's hard to tell, like, should I start him or should I not? I mean, he's had two 20-plus point games, but then he'll have, like, a 9-point game and then a 10-point game, 6 points. You know, he just seems not as consistent as he should be. And the fact that he's still only 26 and the Rams let him go, I don't know. I feel like this guy should be more of a stud.
He should be. I am kind of worried. I think I would, again, trend him down only because I think he's been so good early on. He just cannot continue that pace. It just can't. I know the Atlanta offense is, you know, going to always be behind and doing stuff, but and it's nice to see Moy has like three Falcons on his team. seriously, like Thursday Night Football was crazy. He had the Julio, Hayden Hurst, and Gurley, and I'm like, when they had the ball, I'm like seeing constantly like the points just kind of roll up. I'm like, geez, this is just my whole trade for Matt Ryan, you know. Dad, don't trade Matt Ryan to the point, please. But yeah, I mean, he just can't continue that.
No,
and he's gonna need him. He's gonna need Gurley. I mean, that was he needs at least one stud running back to kind of carry him through. So we'll see what happens with Moyne. But I'm kind of thinking right now he can't continue that pace.
Yeah, I would probably lean towards like a five as well too. With Gurley, and like you said, Falcons are bad this year. If they get behind, you know, they're probably just going to continue to throw and not use Gurley as much. And I think I just saw actually this week they said they're not looking to trade Gurley. Was it Gurley and Ryan as well too? I think
they need to blow that up. Just blow it up, man.
I think you are going to see it. Maybe I read it wrong, but I just quickly glanced at it. But I thought that they said that they, you know, but you never know. They could just be a mid-season confidence booster type thing, and then by the end of the season, then you know your Ryan goes one way and Julio goes another. And
they're looking at last year and they won like what, 6 out of 7 or 6 out of 8 to end the season, and thinking they can pull that off again. Like, this is the point where teams need to just kind of fold it up, like the Niners. Like the Niners, you know, Jimmy G and Kittle are going to go on IR. We're going to have $80 million of our cap, of our $202 million cap on IR. Like 40% of our team is going to be not even dressing up on game day. Nice. Just nuts. Just might as well start working on draft picks.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Falcons would be smart if they did the same thing.
Just dump the season at this point.
Yeah, dog, get me some draft picks. This was the team that just went to the Super Bowl last year. We'll be back at it again if we can get a top five pick.
Is Bosa still hurt?
Yeah, they're all. It's all. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was.
Y'all had high hopes for this season too.
It's tough to go back. I mean, we were kind of poking fun at the Rams last year, but you know, and they had a tough season last year after going to the Super Bowl. It's just tough.
Super Bowl hangover, unless
you're the Chiefs.
Yeah, I did. There it's must be something in the water there over in KC.
It's called Patrick Mahomes, man. When you have a transcendent player like Mahomes.
Transcendent, yes.
Yes.
That is the word of the day, folks. Transcendent. Whenever you hear transcendent, yell like in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
A very underrated show.
Well, I think we're wrapping it up here. That just about does it for us. So thanks again for tuning in. And next week we'll be back locked and loaded with the full squad here on the Ladies and Edelman Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm JV.
I'm AJ.
And remember, we'll see you at the game. Was all he said.